When Brother Mark this morning mentioned about the lesson that he had brought to us to share with us today, I thought how providential that is. Because as we were closing last week's lesson study about unity and division, we mentioned the passage in Psalms 133 of how beautiful and how sweet and precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The idea of unity in the Old Testament of our Bible is a very important theme. It's a theme anticipated, looking forward to. There would be unity in Christ ultimately later on. For there would be no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, as you read in Acts 4. And so that idea of unity is expressed here. And look at the symbolism that is used in reference to this Mount Hermon. How that Aaron would move himself up to this flint rock type of mountain. It would be a great deal of heat in parts of the day on that mountainside. And in the early morning there would be a dew because of the climate of the winds that would blow and the way it would come over that high mountain peak area where dews would be emitted upon him. And it is suggested there in Psalms 133 that this unity is so precious and so comforting, like that dew that even was enough to wet his beard and then wet the garment that he was wearing. Wet that garment, that linen garment, all the way down to his feet. How dampness would be there, how refreshing it would be in that early morning of the sunshine hitting the side of that mountain and of it being such a hot time, and yet here is dew that is so refreshing. That's how good and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. The ideas of the Old Testament are expressed, the words of the prophets are spoken, and the prophets Jesus fulfilled. And as he fulfilled the prophets in his resurrection, you remember, in Luke 24, he noted in regard to this particular matter as he opened their understanding of the scriptures written of the law of Moses in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Our Lord Jesus wanted people to be united in what the prophets said, and the prophets wanted there to be unity in the followers of the Christ in the future. And thus they spoke things that were true and accurate. Last night in our school program, there were two presentations that were done in regard to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and how he was reading from the scripture, reading from Isaiah the prophet, what we know as Isaiah 53. And how that this prophet said in this regard, he was led as a lamb who was not without speech before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. He wanted unity so much he did not create a dissension, a division at the time of his death. Notice also in this regard that this man wanted to know more. And so he said to Philip, "How can I understand except some man should guide me?" Is this man speaking of himself? Is Isaiah talking about himself, or is he talking of some other man? And in that regard, he began the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Indeed, that was a great, precious scene. And he could unite with the theme of the prophets and the teaching of the prophets of God in the Old Testament of our Bible. When people today in a religious movement are content with religious division, wearing the various names of men, honoring whatever creed is taught and accepted by their council or their convention that meets somewhere in America or meets somewhere in the world, they're going down a road that is completely different than these words of Psalm 133. How beautiful and how precious it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. A unity that the prophets foretold, a unity that Jesus began, and how that this man here in Acts chapter 8 rejoiced on his way when he was baptized into Christ because he knew that he was united in the way that the Lord would have him to be. Brother Mark's going to come now and teach us in regard to this place of the Old Testament and how it will help us even that much more. Brother Mark, please come. Mark, teach me.
Begin and end with the New Testament. But there is a certain unity between the New Testament and the Old Testament. There are many in the world today, if you watch television, if you read magazines, newspapers, media in all its various forms, we see that the God and the Bible and the scriptures themselves are under continual attack. If you look in the popular media of today, you will hardly ever find anything talking about the origin of the universe, the origin of the world, that does not take an evolutionary perspective. And as people refer to some of the accounts in the Old Testament scripture, they look back at it and they call it a fable, they call it a story, a make-believe, an allegory. They come up with all these different ways to explain away what God has laid forth in His Word. How about the story of creation? Often attacked. How about Cain and Abel? Often attacked. How about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Often attacked. How about the story of Noah and the Great Flood? Often ridiculed and attacked. How about the story of Jonah? Often attacked. And if Christian isn't careful, some of these things would cause their faith to be shaken. But let's spend some time in the Word of God and take a look and see how Jesus viewed the Old Testament and see what His thoughts were about these accounts within Scripture. Go ahead and open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 19. We'll begin there. Matthew chapter 19. Because, you see, with Jesus, we know He indeed was perfect, was He not? We know that His understanding of the Scriptures was unparalleled. Even as a young boy, He was in the temple teaching the teachers. Jesus, during His ministry, He corrected so many errors in their misunderstanding of the Word of God. And I challenge you, if the Word of God, as they had it that day, were indeed inaccurate, if there was indeed error in the Word of God, Jesus would indeed have pointed that out. If there was an error that He wouldn't deal with, He wouldn't talk about, He wouldn't attack, but yet the Word of God remained unscathed. Here in Matthew chapter 19, as Jesus is teaching on adultery, says in verse 4, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female?" So Jesus, do you believe that Genesis, those first few chapters that detail the bringing forth of the universe and of life in 6 days and God resting on the seventh day, do you believe those things are true? Or do you believe that this was a process of billions and billions of years through which creatures evolved, and eventually billions of years later, then came male and female, as the evolutionists try to teach today? What did Jesus believe? He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. Brethren, look carefully at that. There is no way to read evolution into the words of Jesus. The beginning must have happened just the way Moses, by inspiration, recorded it for us in the first several chapters of the book of Genesis. That's what Jesus believed. And if it was good enough for my Lord and Savior, who was perfect, it needs to be good enough for you and me.